سمند سنیمن دائمن ابدن کثیرن کثیر اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم واستعین بالصبر والصلاة انها لکبیرۃ للخاشعین صدق اللہ العظیم.
اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی has to the human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the human being to the world, to this world, which is the subject that is continuing up to now. We started from the beginning of the Qur'an, upon which, during which we saw that Shaytan made a lot of noise, and he requested that, give me permission so I can destroy mankind, and he got the permission. So all of his efforts and his determination, he tried and he sought and he attained permission, and he's working his hardest and best to distract human beings so that he can, the human being will be thrown into hell and will be far from success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for human beings created a beautiful solution, which is da'wah and tabligh. Now this is a great preparation, which was to oppose Shaytan, and Shaytan cannot compete against this. Shaytan tried his best, take people towards bad, to commit shirk, commit sins. He would prepare everyone for Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately at that time would send a Nabi, a prophet. A Nabi would come, or a Rasul would come, a messenger or a prophet. And then tabligh, da'wah, propagation of faith, and the human beings, the people would embark on the path of deen again. So when Allah Ta'ala started this, it started from Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. And the Quran mentions all the events, the history, and for this ummah, Allah Ta'ala presented all of those events and incidents. The whole Quran, we can see in different parts of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned these points and these events, that how Shaytan tried, and then a qawm would be present and Shaytan would influence them towards bad or sin. Allah has mentioned many previous nations. We just think Quran is for Taraweeh and Hafiz of Quran, and he will just recite in Taraweeh the Quran and that's it. And after that, we don't understand the Quran. What are the messages in the Quran? Quran is a message. Knowledge. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need to mention stories to us. Why has Allah Ta'ala included these events in the Quran, brothers? The Quran has come with a message for this ummah, a big message. And this is the reason that it's the final book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning of time and to all the prophets, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned all the previous prophets' events, incidents, and to the ummah of the final prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can learn, take heed and warning, admonishment that Allah Ta'ala has given to us in the Quran. So we can attain a learning and save ourselves from Shaytan and from our desires. But even here, Shaytan has played a game that we've changed the meaning of the Quran. Very few places can you see or hear where we can look at the Quran and accept the message coming from the Quran for Islam. Rather, we'll say, no, don't read these verses, they're too strict. Or don't mention these verses, no, they're not for us. We have no selection. We are reading the Quran from the beginning. And that's why we're reading from the beginning. We're not selecting verses. Oh, let's go to this verse and we are criticizing this person or those people, or we're criticizing a sect or a group of people or a certain person, or we want to prove someone's wrong or put him down. No, as the verses of the Quran come, we will go according to that. With Allah's fadl, today we have done a quarter of this section of the Quran. We haven't selected any specific verse or place. The Quran style is like this, alhamdulillah. Every verse presents haqq, truth, a message of truth. And this is our cure that we get from the Quran. Yes, because Quran is our knowledge, our guide. And today, this day and age, the situation confronting us, the Quran will give the solution. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Today we'll get the message for today's conditions. Today's not, if there's any political issue in the world today, pick up the Quran. Today, right now, the message will come to the how you should approach this condition scenario and the solution. But the Quran, we haven't touched the Quran with this intention. That's what we do. We take out criticisms, negatives, opposition, criticize this person, put this person down. And this is not what the Quran came. People are enjoying this. We say, oh, you know, let's recite this way and a nice qiraat and recitation melody, and people are swaying. And Qari Sahib, what he's reciting, we don't know that that verse is addressing us directly. It's us who are at fault. That verse is there, and we're saying, wow, wow, subhanAllah, we're swaying. And the verse is saying, foolish people, you're swaying, enjoying the melody, but this verse is for you. But no, we just want the melody, the recitation, the different styles of recitation. We enjoy that. Yes? So today, the whole world, when it runs after the person who's doing qiraat, what has he done? He's in front of you. What has he done? Yeah, those people you are imitating in the whole world, you know, people are reciting in a certain way. What has that person done? You can see yourself what that person's done. Yeah? The Quran has not come for this objective. No. The Quran, you can see that we've read the quarter, alhamdulillah, of this section, and there are messages, no specific selection, that we selected this verse for a certain group of people. They get upset, they send messages, why have you said this to us? Why have you said this against this person, etc.? No, no, no. The Quran is speaking. The Quran is speaking. Alhamdulillah. Allah's karam, mercy, we should be grateful to Allah. Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to understand from these verses, given us tawfiq so we can correct ourselves. Today we make niyyah that this is the message of the Quran, and we will correct ourselves. We will realign ourselves. So the Quran, all the previous nations that the Quran has mentioned, the events, they aren't stories, they aren't tales, they're not folk tales. All the events of the previous nations, why has Allah mentioned them? That how the qawm, when the shaitan attacked them, he influenced them, and when they would become distracted, start to do shirk or sins, Allah would send a Nabi, a prophet. The prophet would come do dawah, tabligh, propagation of deen, correct the generation, he'd be with them for a while. When that Nabi would depart, after that they'd go back towards negative. And then Allah would send a Nabi again until the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who came. This continued, and Allah Ta'ala, subhanAllah, after Rasulullah, there was no Nabi to come, he was the final Prophet. So on this ummah, Allah Ta'ala created the capacity, the qualities, that every human being, Allah gave a quality that he can himself do dawah tabligh. Say subhanAllah. This is not the work of some specific jama'ah or a group, a person. No, every human being, Allah's given a quality. In this ummah, even a child when he's born, he's got this skill. I tell you this now. With this skill, Allah's given the ummah. If you try your best, you can push your son to become alim, or child to become alim, or hafiz, qari, or da'i. He cannot become just like that. Just because you want it. Allah selects. If, for example, if your child becomes an alim, we think, oh, the father and mother, they made effort. There's no effort. This is spiritual islah that Allah instills into that child. Automatically, that passion increases when a child becomes an alim, a scholar. That father should be grateful, happy that Allah has put this quality and skill into my child, that Allah selected my child to become alim. Now, here there's a point I'd like to share with you. In those homes where there are alims graduating, hafiz or da'is or propagators, then remember, Allah has selected them. In other words, one child, if he has the capacity, quality of an alim, and he has to do the work of the deen in the world, that child, Allah has assigned him that responsibility. Now, it's the mother and father's responsibility that they're happy or he's become a hafiz, a qari. No, no, you haven't made the child a hafiz, qari. That child, Allah has given him that salahiyat, that quality, that capacity, the capability to that child to become that. When they start to learn ilm, then quickly he learns the knowledge easily, he absorbs the knowledge, he gathers it and absorbs it in his heart. Why? Because Allah selected that individual, gave him or her the capacity. What's the work? The first action is what? That look, every human being, Allah has given us the skill to do da'wah and tabligh. And the first jama'ah who were given this responsibility, the first group of people, the mother and the father, from whom the children are born and they get tarbiyah. Yes, they get the teaching, and the biggest punishment that will be given to the people, because every person should be doing work of da'wah and tabligh, and the mother and father will be punished the most in their homes if they are disobedient children, sons and daughters who are far from their deen. Then they'll have so much azab, their mother and father, from the world. It will start, reason being, when the child was born, in your family, Allah gave that child skill to become an alim, a scholar. That child had that capacity and that ilm, that knowledge. Allah gave the quality, the skill to become an alim. That's a big, big responsibility on the mother and father, that they should look after their child. They should nurture the child, protect the child, prepare the child, and work hard on the child. That Allah has selected this child for ilm, as an alim, to do the work. And then what do? We say, oh, for the world, we learn knowledge. When a child is born, grown up, we leave him. We don't work hard on the child. And then he gets distracted, deviated, the child. Such a great gift Allah has given, a treasure child. Allah says, I want that child to do the work of the deen in the world. Just like wood. And there's a wooden tree, you break it down and you don't use it properly, but in that wooden tree there's so much quality. If you take that wood to a carpenter, then he'll sculpture that wood to a beautiful wardrobe or furniture. He'll make items out of wood because he's a master craftsman, because the wood has the quality, but you need the craftsman to sculpture it. Same way the child, when he's born into a home, the mother and the father, they have that responsibility. Alima, scholars, females, hafiza, hafiz, alims. The selection, Allah wants them to do the work of the deen, the work of the prophets. So for that we need to work hard. Mother and father, protect your children, look after them, totally give attention. They shouldn't be spoiled. Allah wants them to do the work of the deen. But here, mother and father fail. They fail. So this on the ummah, Allah's blessings and mercy, is that every human being in the ummah, man and woman, have this skill. We think now it's only one jama'at who can do this work, da'wat and tabligh jama'at. Who said this, that in Islam there's only one jama'at, group of people who will do da'wat, tabligh, and spread the deen? Who told you this? Where have we learned this? Every brother and sister can do this. Every man can do this. Okay, they're doing very great work of the deen. They are. But it's not just them or only a select group of people who are going to do the work. No, they're doing that work, alhamdulillah, that's fine. They have a system, methodology, an organization that's doing a work of the deen. That's good. They've organized themselves. Let's get together and do the work of the deen this way. But it's not just their responsibility to do the work of the deen. First and foremost, it starts from our home. The child that's been born into your home. When you're giving the laddus out, when the son's born, you give the jalebis out, the mithai out, the sweets out. At that time, when you're spreading and distributing the sweets and the laddus, you should do dua that time, Allah, in this child, please insert the quality of ilm, make him a da'i, spreading the deen. And then try to bring that child towards the ilm. If the child has the skills and the qualities and your du'as work, and the child is becoming an alim, then you should protect that child so much, just like a diamond, the jeweler, he protects the diamond, save the child from bad negatives, from sin. The child's got to grow up, so that with ilm, that child can do work of the deen, that the quality, the skill Allah gave. That's when the crown will be put on the head of the parents. Not that you made the child a hafiz to read tarawis and qari and melodies, and we run around looking for him in Ramadan, and they're reciting like this person, reciting like that person. This is not the maqsad, the objective. The mother and father, and they're showing off in pride, and my son's done this, my daughter's done this. Understand the Quran, brothers. So the Quran, Allah's mentioned hikmah in the verse that we have just recited. Allah Ta'ala is explaining that what you can do to oppose shaitan, Allah's given us that tool of da'wah and tabligh, from which shaitan runs far away. He's destroyed. As long as da'wah and tabligh is running first class in a nice way, then I'm not talking about tabligh jama'at only. No, from your home the work starts. Da'i, you prepare the da'is, you propagate the deen. Whose responsibility is first and foremost? The mother and father. After that, to correct the society, it comes on those people, those children you've prepared, protected, made them alim, scholars. Then they go forward and do the work with Allah's blessings. They then look after the work of da'i and tabligh, and they protect the deen. Cannot be that the society is then spoiled. So this is the system Allah created. Nabi al-Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he passed away, this system had to continue. Yes, so there is production. There is production line, but his impure production, like there's a bread factory, a lot of bread coming out in the packets, but it's dirty, impure. Yes, it's burnt, contaminated. In the same way, we have production lines. Alims day and night are graduating, female, male, but the production is not correct, is contaminated, is not doing the work, the objective, is not fulfilling the objective. So The start of this work is from home. The mother and the father, they start this work off, brothers. Then after that, when you come to the dunya, the mashayikh and the ulama, the respected sheikhs and the ulama scholars do this work of the deen. And they do the work of the anbiya, the prophets. And this is the special quality of this ummah, that Allah Ta'ala allowed that work to continue. So do we understand this? So when this work stops, after that fasad disorder spreads. And when this work is not done correctly, and that's today's generation that we see around us today. Firqe, groups, splits, khanqas, different masjids, peer, adde, headquarters, different groups, bid'ah, shirk, innovation, problems, cultures, traditions, ajeeb, weird practices, all cultural, traditional, and all functions, and just for the sake of it, objectives. Is this the deen? So the Quran explains, no, this is not the deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in every generation, He sent the Anbiya alayhimus salam, and for this ummah Allah gave a special quality for every human being, for them to do the work of deen. Every man, every person's responsibility is to do this, and it starts from home, the mother and father are responsible. But what happens? What happens? Due to which society is spoilt, disbanded. Both groups stop doing that work. Why? What's the reason? Why does the work cease? Biggest fasad is due to the actions, the sayings and the actions. In other words, amal is different and the nasihas are different. Speech is different, passion is present, but the amal is not present. The biggest fasad starts at that time when a person, there's a difference in the amal of a person, the practice of a person and his statements, his speech, his words. That's when the society is spoilt. That's when the society is affected. If we see something wrong occurring, but we don't stop that wrong. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that stop the bad. Stop the bad. Stop it with your hand. If you can't do that, stop it with your mouth, verbally. If you can't verbally, don't have that capacity, then at least in your heart accept it's wrong. This is the lowest level of iman, Rasulullah ﷺ stated. But even here, not on this level now, we got to the stage that even in our heart we think it's good. That sin, no. It's okay, there's nothing wrong with this. In our hearts we say this. Allah Ta'ala knows the hearts that this person is considering this bad as good. He's cooperating with that bad. He's cooperating. Allah looks at the heart, the root of the heart. From on top, he says, no. But inside his heart has love. That, oh, this wrong action, he's okay, he's fine. He's cooperating with that sinful action. He's aligning with that sinful action. It's stated, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, there's a hadith, that people enjoying good, like our children, enjoying good and prevent them from vice. If you don't do this, then on the hearts, Allah Ta'ala and around, you will send adab, punishment. And that punishment will descend, and the biggest sign is that your du'as will not be accepted. This is the hadith in Tirmidhi. So we see, we realize that at that time, when we see around us our children, from our home it starts, family, someone's doing bad, sin, then the first responsibility of the household is the mother and father have the power. They can stop with their hands, with their verbal, with their mouths, their speech. And the level of the heart comes long after that. How can this occur? Should have distaste, dislike with a child who's doing wrong. Allah looks at the heart. Look at that bad sin that person doing. How bad it is. Otherwise, azab will start straight away. Azab. And in the bad, when the sin's committed in that environment, azab comes. That's the reason why the biggest issue, qawl, statement and physical practice difference. Then at that time in the mashallah and the society, we have a massive problem. When a man says something different, but his amal is opposite to that. We desire children to be hafiz, qari, he should be this and that, Junaid Baghdadi, pious. But have we ever thought that the child we want to make good and pious, what is our own amal in front of that child? What are our statements? Verbally, physically. That doesn't matter how much you try on a child, work hard on a child, doesn't matter how much effort you make with Quran and whatever you do. And in the home, if the mother, especially the mother and the father, do not pray, then remember. In madrasas, you can leave them, you can spend so much money on that child, but your child will never be Correct. There will come a time you will realize that what's happening, oh, with ilm and the Quran, what is the child doing? Because Allah Ta'ala says that this is the reflection of the amal, that you are disobeying, you leave salah, the biggest deed is salah. Salah. When the child sees my father, he doesn't go to pray. He doesn't pray salah and jama'ah. He's free. He's got nothing in his life. He doesn't do or know anything. And he works out on the child. Oh, ulama, make him alim, huffaz, make my child a hafiz. And this and that. You can work your hardest, but this is opposite to the amal. The expression of your values, you're disobedient. How will your child be obedient? Mother is disobedient. How will the child be obedient? The Quran is explaining this. And this today we see in our society. Differentiation, difference verbally. Father does something else, doesn't pray, nothing. The biggest action is salah in that home. The first deed you need to look for in a home. A father, he complained to me. He complained, he went to a pious elder, sorry, with a complaint of his child. And the elder said, tell me, you are complaining about your son or daughter. He said, you're right, I did this. We worked hard for him. We made him a hafiz. Qari sahab came to him and we worked hard. We gave him guidance. We sent him to madrasa. And look, now he's doing dirty actions. He's smoking cannabis. Cannabis, please do dua, Hazrat. For him, we worked hard. He's smoking drugs. So the pious elder replied, beautiful point. Have you not read the Quran? Yes, I've read the Quran. I've read Quran this many times. He said, don't do khatam Quran. The verse of the Quran, just understand it. What is this verse saying? What's the message of the Quran that you are getting? Just one message is enough for you. And if you correct yourself, you'll be fine. That, do you know about salah? Do you have value for salah? The pious elder said, he said, yes. He said, I tell you, I guarantee to you, he said, that your child is disobedient. I can guarantee that doesn't matter what you did, I did this and that. The reason for that is one, that you don't pray salah and your wife doesn't pray salah. That's it. Due to these actions of yours, hard work, the child cannot become successful. Either you don't pray sometimes, don't pray, so it doesn't mean that you pray salah at home. No, 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 no. The orders of salah totally, aqimus salah, established on every male is lazim, fard, has to pray salah in congregation in the masjid. You have to leave your home in front of the children and go to the masjid. The child should know that my father runs to the masjid for every salah, not praying at home. Then see that child afterwards. You don't need to work hard, make him a hafiz qari. Automatically the nur will come into that child. Automatically. This is amal will create the children. They will look at your amal, your deeds. This is the test of physical expression and verbal expression. Yes, physical and verbal has to match, has to align, parallel. And then where did that show the result? That generation, when they become alims and scholars and hafiz, then they spread the destruction in society, those same scholars and ulama. As Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet said that on the day of judgment, a person will be put into hell. Osama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu said this. And who will be that person? Be those same people who had difference in the verbal expression and physical expression. The mother and father, they tell their children, but they don't practice themselves. Tell children, pray salah, do this, do that. But their salah is not correct at all, the mother and the father. The house where the salah is not correct, they don't pray salah in jama'ah, in congregation, the male. Such person is being spoken about. That person was seen, he was placed into a hell. And his stomach, it was torn apart and the intestines came out. Who? The Holy Prophet ﷺ told us this. That blessed statement of his, when he said something, tell me now, is it wrong what he said? That from the intestines will come out and he will go all around hell in this state. In the hadith is stated that Allahu Akbar, just like, you know, like a donkey running around all four directions, he'll wander all directions. And the people of hell will come around him and gather. And with shock they'll ask, what's happening here? That in the world you are an alim, a scholar. You were learned. The people, they hailed you. What's the problem? You used to give us nasiha, advice, lectures, speeches. You used to give us big explanations. What's happened to you? What's your condition today? These are the words. Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim hadith I'm sharing with you. Yes, they can't say anything at that time. Can he, that man? He'll say that I used to give you nasiha advice, but I self would not practice on it. I tell you don't listen to music, but I listen to music myself. I tell you that don't look at the wrong evil things. I did it myself. To my son, I'd tell my son that you have to be pious. And I used to watch TVs and dramas. And I used to watch, the mother would say, I used to say to my daughter, no, 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 you have to become alima. And myself, I used to bring a dress to wear, immoral, immodest. And we used to do all the sins in front of our children. Sahih Muslim hadith, this is the consequence. Those people who have opposite physical expression, verbal expression, ulema, scholars, mother and father, and all those people in the ummah who do this, who are opposite in the work of da'wah and tabliq. Allahu Akbar. So for the whole of society, destruction comes at that time when a person's physical action is opposite to what he says. He says something else, his practice is something else. So this is a very big message. So here, what should we think? What should we understand? What we need to understand here, Allahu Akbar, we shouldn't do such an action. When we give nasiha advice to our children, first we should pray ourselves. We ourselves should demonstrate the action in our home, first and foremost. Subhanallah. I've seen people's homes, Allahu Akbar, that one child, he corrects the whole household. One child, daughter, corrects the whole household, subhanAllah. The mother and father used to go to cinema, watch films, dramas, do wrong actions on TV, and wrong immoral actions, immoral stuff, just like the world in front of you, what happens. And the child was born, son was born. And mother and father sat down, subhanAllah, subhanAllah. This is what happens when you sit with the pious people. And they said that, look, the situation, Allah has given us a guest, mother and father, husband and wife, talking what we need to do now, and that we need to correct ourselves. That every mother and father has a desire that a child becomes pious. Junaid Baghdadi. Good point. Good desire. But Junaid Baghdadi, before the child becomes that, you will need to become something first, of mother and father. Then the child, he won't be corrected by kitabs. Yes, the noor, the splashes of noor due to the parents will come onto the child. All of our children that we've wasted, the ilm, the hafiz, qari, all of them zero because we didn't have amal ourselves. All of them zero. We lied in front of them. We fight with their relatives, speak nonsense in front of them, backbiting in front of them. In front of our children, we do wrong openly. Openly. Disobedience, sinful actions, going against the laws, against Sharia, husband and wife are fighting, children are watching, in the home there's fasad, disorder, children are watching, we're lying, swearing, quarreling, disputing, storms and fights, children are watching, how are they going to pray salah? Yeah, we're giving birth to people who go towards Jahannam, they have no akal, no awareness. No, I've made my child this and that, we've not made them nothing. We've made them nothing. Just dunya we make them run after. In the dunya, the child will retire one day. Even the biggest of officers in the world, professional officer, after 15, 20 years, he'll retire. The people say, I'll get out of the office now. Next man's coming after you. You retire. Too old. Too old. So this is the punishment. Yes, where we physically do something opposite to what we verbally say. The mother and father are different to the children. They're seeing, the children are seeing the father, mother not praying. We say to the child, please, son, become pray salah. I want you to become like Junaid Baghdadi, this and that. Do so much tarbiyah. You're not doing no tarbiyah if you're not praying salah. Zero tarbiyah. Rather, you are included amongst those people. This hadith has been shared like that donkey running blindly in Jahannam. So what we realize is that we need to, as I was saying, that the mother and father, they said to the Prophet, that as soon as the child was born, yes, they were happy. They said, Allah has given us a wali, a child, a guest, and we will make him the wali, said the mother and father. Allah has given him the skills, qualities. We need to revive those skills and qualities. We will make him Junaid. Abdul Qadir Jilani, mother made Abdul Qadir Jilani. Look at the history. His mother made him. Ghaus Pak. The qualities Allah gave, naturally, but the mother, she nurtured him, brought him up upright, sincere. Look at the history. Look at the history. One child, when he grows up with the qualities, mother, father says, oh, leave him. They took the TV out of the house. They stopped listening to music, singing. The father started to pray salah, kept the bed. Mother observed, but the child's born. They changed their life. Subhanallah. That child I've seen grown up. Don't ask, what was that child? Who was that child? This is a fantastic result. Fantastic result. This is the mother and father's responsibility. Tell me. Is this not? No, we say, oh, we've done enough. If you ask someone, yes, we send a child to Malana Sahib. Malana Sahib's not working hard on our son. He's not teaching him anything. He's not coming back with any learning. Look at the home. Look inside your household. Then you'll understand. Then you understand. What is Malana Sahib going to teach the children? What he's teaching and you destroy as soon as he comes home, the child. So what can you, how can you blame Malana Sahib? So anyway, Allah Ta'ala is given an example here that physically and verbally, when there's a difference, fasad will come in the world. In the world, that's when the lives around us will change, the scenario will change. What's the reason for this? Why is there a difference today between physical expression and verbal expression? What's the difference? The Quran tells us. This is all due to Quran. Why is there a vast opposite difference to our physical lives and our verbal, what we say? The reason is love of life and love of dunya. Hubb dunya, hubb jah. Allahu Akbar. The difference when people say something different and do something different. Why does this mean? Due to which a child cannot be an alim. An alim can't become an alim, nor will an alim say the truth. What's the reason for this? There's one reason, is that it is dunya is the reason. Dunya. Worldly things, material. Reason is the love of dunya. Dunya love overwhelms a person so much, it's embedded love of dunya, love of life. Allah forgive, Allah forgive. Allah's Nabi says, I'm stated that when the love of dunya comes so much, when a person, he dives into the world, he forgets everything. He's immersed in the dunya, he forgets everything. Everything he forgets due to the dunya, due to love of dunya, love of material things, love of temporary things. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated in Ibn Majah, Bayhaqi Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates hadith. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, dunya and in the world, whatever you see, everything is cursed, wretched, you could say. A waste. Tell me, the dunya that Rasulullah is saying is a waste, nothing valuable. Yes, that thing in the dunya is not wretched or cursed. Number one, dhikrullah, or amal, an alim, a scholar, or a practicing student. If you're doing these actions, this is the reality of what we should be doing in life. All the other things that we run after the dunya, all of this is wretched, running after money and business and shops and assets. All these things, Allah has put the seal in this hadith. Dhikr, if you do that, remembering Allah, or if you're learning ilm, knowledge, and the children who the parents have prepared from birth to attain ilm, not those examples, the mother and father, not those children around for dunya, but those mother and father who practice and they send their children to learn ilm. Rasulullah said that that is the person who is saved, who is doing the right action. We're using time wisely. Rasulullah stated that a person who runs after the world, is his value is just like two forms of currency. He's just running after money and libas. If you attain dunya, he's happy. If he doesn't get dunya, he's sad. Allah said that destroyed is that person. This is a hadith in Bukhari that I'm presenting in front of you. Allahu Akbar. In Tirmidhi, there's a hadith. Hazaqa bin Ayaz radiallahu anhu stated that Rasulullah stated in every ummah there's a fitna. And my ummah's fitna, Rasulullah said, is man, money, wealth. That's the biggest fitna of my ummah. As Umar bin Auf radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah stated that I am not worried about poverty, being poor. I'm afraid or I fear that the love of dunya, the doors of the dunya will open in front of you and you'll run after the dunya and you'll pay attention to maal and you'll be destroyed running after wealth. How will you be destroyed? Subhanallah. When dunya comes to a person, when dunya overtakes him, then what happens is that he leaves amal, practice, and he runs after dunya, world, the ilm, the knowledge, and he uses that for dunya. Mother and father, when with the children, when they don't practice themselves and the children don't practice, the reason is dunya. That father, mother, they're running after business, earning wealth. They have no awareness of salah. So how will the children do the right actions? They cannot be correctly brought up. That mal, 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 money, money, money. We run after wealth. They have nothing else to offer to the children. They have no time to give time to the children. They have no time to give the teaching to the children. The biggest time that we have to give to Allah, the biggest time that we have to praise Allah, go to the masjid and praise Allah. That business and money, when it doesn't give you the chance that you can go to the masjid to praise Salah, then tell me, how will that person give tarbiyah to the child? How can a parent give tarbiyah to the child if he or she is not praying Salah in the correct way? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith, that a little bit of dunya which is enough for our needs is the best dunya. Subhanallah. Opposite to that dunya due to which your salah is being sacrificed. Always prefer that dunya in which your salah is complete and fulfilled. Because your salah is fulfilled, then tomorrow your sons and your daughters and their children, your children will pray salah, then they'll become alim. It stated, a little bit of dunya which is enough for your needs is better than that dunya where you have a lot of material gain, and that mal should not make you lazy or negligent from Allah's remembrance. Little bit of dunya due to which your needs are fulfilled, opposite to that, where you earn a lot of resources of the world, but that mal will come, you'll get ease and comfort in the world, but it will make you lazy and ghafil in Allah's remembrance. Allah's Nabi Sallam preferred that option one. Teaching, for example, you run a business, fine. But why is your salah being compromised? Why is this fajr go? Why is dhuhr go? Why don't you pray salah correctly, completely, properly? And everything is in salah, Allah's orders. If you obey it, that's where success comes. True success. So that's the difference. When a person verbally and physically life is opposite due to what? The root cause reason is hubbe dunya. Love the world, physical actions are different, words are different, and he sells himself for maal and wealth and money. Rasulullah SAW stated, subhanallah, that the alim who gives people nasiha and himself he doesn't practice, then his lips will be torn with the scissors. Allahu Akbar. If we read this hadith, it's shocking. Rasulullah said, the alim who doesn't practice, when he will go into a hell, then there will be such a stench, a smell, that the people of hell, their brains will get confused. They'll ask, who are you? He will say, that I am such an alim who didn't attain any benefit from my own knowledge. Allahu Akbar. So this love of dunya, love of mal, love of wealth, opposites in expression verbally and physically. And we waste ourselves in that effort. Money, mal, wealth, that's it. Salah finished, everything finished, deen finished. Second point, tabligh, why don't we do tabligh correctly? Fear inside, what will dunya say? They will sack me from the job. Their mother and father say, no. If we tell our children to do this, it'll be too much for them, too much burden. Fear in obeying Allah's advice, disobedience comes into the life due to fear. Allah's fear, but fear of people comes into the heart. Fear of Allah disappears, fear of people enters. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, gives the solution. وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ Subhanallah. That when such a condition arises within you, around you, love of mal, love of dunya, and you have love of dunya, and you cannot make the haq decisions for yourself and your children, the right alim, mashayikh, the true mashayikh, the true scholars, they don't do tabligh correctly. With this fear, that if we do this correctly, sacredly, then poverty will come, we'll lose money, dunya will go, success will go. Allah's Nabi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Allah says the best solution, the best cure, the best remedy, sabr and salah. Subhanallah. Sabr and salah. Sabr teaches us istiqamat, steadfastness. What is sabr? That doesn't matter what conditions come around you in opposition to Allah's orders, whatever situation arises, poverty, you have a poor life, difficulty, sadness, difficult worldly life, difficult scenarios, and by opposite to that is Allah's hukam, that do this action or don't do this. To practice that, Allah says, if you practice that, then sabr is the best solution to do that right thing. In other words, persevere, endure. When you stick to it, you endure, you're not worried about being poor, poverty, you don't leave salah due to poverty. If I leave salah, if I pray salah, my business will go downhill. No, that earning, that shop, that business, that you should select that. Children will see that you are praying salah. You have amal in your life. Select that as an occupation. And Allah's ahkams, orders, stick to them, adhere to them. Accept wrong as wrong, accept right as right. And say it. And have yaqeen. Wasta'inu bisabri wassalah. The respected scholars say, wasta'in means when a human being, he practices Allah's path and he sticks to it and he has istiqamat, doesn't worry about worldly losses, then Allah's help comes to that person. Allah's assistance starts to descend on that person. Allah never leaves the assistance of that person. Allah assists that person. Second point, wassalah, Allahu Akbar. Salah, namaz. In other words, sabr, what does it teach us? It teaches satisfaction, being content, and love of the world comes out of the heart. You focus, pay attention to Allah. Love of life and love of money reduces, goes, and you'll be afraid that, no, I have to listen to Allah's order. What will happen due to that? Subhanallah. Then contentment will come, peace will come in your heart. Nafs will be controlled, suppressed. Shahawat, passions, desires, wrong desires will end. No, I'm going to do what Allah ordered me to do. Second point, salah, namaz. Namaz is such a great deed, so important. Salah, sabr will give us contentment, satisfaction, power, make us stick to the right path, alhamdulillah. And Allah Ta'ala stated, the people who have sabr, the sabirun, أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ Allah says, those who have sabr, who endure without reckoning, they will get the reward. The dunya is going, it's going due to your sabr. Dunya is going, wealth is going, because you need to observe and adhere to Allah's orders. But Allah Ta'ala says, subhanAllah, immense reward, no reckoning thereafter. Allah's given targhib, the Quran, that if you observe Allah's orders, doesn't matter how much loss in the dunya you see, but you must stick to Allah's ahkams. Don't leave that. Don't you do a U-turn. Allah's given to see at the Quran. Second point. Namaz. Salah. Two things. If we practice in our homes and our families, alhamdulillah, contentment will come. Satisfaction will come. Salah is complete. No worry about poverty. Being poor, halal and haram. We have respect. We don't have a desire to be a big shot, big head, big money, big houses, big cars. Children are given right tarbiyah. We have worry, concern for them. Amal we do in front of them. Two things we need for this. Sabr and salah. What is salah? Namaz. Total dua is salah. When a person does both things, when he takes assistance with both tools, alhamdulillah, bisabri wa salah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help comes to that human being, to that person. Allah's help comes to that person. Allah Ta'ala in salah has put extreme barakat, extreme blessings. That home, family where there is salah, alhamdulillah, all the children will be practicing and the others will become towards the practices of other people. Subhanallah. Amal. The Sahaba Karam, noble companions, radiallahu anhum, look at the style of their life. Whenever any incident would occur, the Holy Prophet himself, immediately they would pay attention to salah as the solution. Illness, problem, sadness, difficulties. Allah Ta'ala gives such a solution in salah, is the best remedy for all of the problems. Has Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhum, stated once, a person came and said that your son has passed away. What a massive shock. Shock statement. Immediately, that he asked, he didn't do any action, no crying, and it's immediately he stood and he prayed 2 rak'ah nafal salah on receiving that news, and he did dua to Allah. Allahu Akbar. And then alongside, they said, wasta'inu bis sabri wa salah, Allah's ordered that ask me for help via salah and sabr, subhanallah. Abdullah bin Abbas, every action due to salah will get success, will become easy for you. And all worldly needs, the greed, the requirements, the desires, fikr, concern, with sabr it will end. Wasta'inu bi sabri, two resources that assist us, two cures, two remedies. That physically and verbally, if we don't want to be different, then this is the cure. That if you want to bring it together, what you say and what you do, then adopt both actions, sabr and salah. Beyond that, Allah says, Allahu Akbar, innaha wa innaha lakabiratun illa alal khashain alladhina yadhunnuna annahum mulaqu rabbihim. Subhanallah. But salah and sabr, they You will get them at that time. You will get them at that time when you have the desire. This is a big message of the Quran. As I said to you, the Quran, alhamdulillah, we are looking in two ways. That you'll see two forms of messages. That one is to obey the Prophet, one is tazkiyah. We're looking at the Quran and studying and understanding and with these two approaches. And after looking at this, Allah has given us nasiha that the biggest important thing here for us to understand, da'wah tabligh, propagating the right things. The Quran has explained this to us. And the society is reformed via this. And da'wah and tabligh happens at that time when physically and verbally we are aligned. And physically and verbally we are opposites. Why? Because of love of dunya, love of wealth, and greed of the world and desire of the world, due to which we don't reform our children. We don't correct our children. And the mashayikh and the ulama, respect as well as they also come into the greed of the world, and they don't do tabligh properly either. And there's a difference in their words and in their actions due to love of dunya. And the cure Allah Ta'ala has given, what is that? Sabr and salah. Yes, so we are explaining this regularly, continuously, sabr and salah. If you want that physically and verbally there's no difference in your life, then that this disease should come out of our heart. What's the solution? What's the solution? Sabr and salah. Sabr and namaz, both things. But sabr and salah also at that time they will be present. At which time? Allahu Akbar. Khashi'een. Subhanallah. When in our heart there is khashiyat, yani when there's fear, when your heart, it has the fear of Allah, it feels that fear of Allah, when it's pure and clean and sincere. Alladhina yadhunnuna annahum mulaqu rabbihim wa annahum ilayhi raji'un. That Allah says when the fear comes, that fear comes, apprehension, when the fear is developed, I'm going to die, I have to answer to Allah, that's the sign. If a person's heart has that fear, recognition, death will come. After death, I have to stand in front of Allah, I have to answer to Allah. Then immediately when this fear develops, then immediately the thing that will be developed after the khashyat will happen is that sabr and salah will result. And he will go onto that path physically. Yes, in his life, sabr will come and salah will also come. So what we learn, the Quran wants to tell us, the system we understand, is that first and foremost, a person needs to do tazkiyah, purification. First and foremost is what? Is tazkiyah for the human being. Reformation, purity, cleansing. Allah has given us the essence here, the meaning, the summary. Wa innaha, subhanallah, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا أَلَّا خَاشِينَ. Only salah and sabr will benefit those people who have khashi'een in their hearts. Subhanallah. Those people who are humble-minded, sincere. What answer will I give to Allah? Sincerity and humble. Yes? Then dunya love will not come into the heart of that person. So how does humbleness and fear come? It comes into the heart. Need that first. If you want to cure the love of the world and love of wealth, Allah says that you have to do islah of the nafs and the qalb, reformation of the qalb and nafs. So we've come towards tazkiyah, isn't it? Quran's brought us towards tazkiyah. That our hearts, we need to reform them, work hard on our hearts. That's the first step for a human being. First and foremost, the action of human being needs to do alhamdulillah, is tazkiyah, tafsiyah, embark on that journey. How? As we know that we should search for a pious, upright person, a friend of Allah, a sheikh, and do bayah with that sheikh, pledge yourself to that sheikh, learn from that sheikh, start mujahada, effort to clean your heart and your nafs. Your niyah should be correct, your intention should be correct, you should have desire to attain Allah's nearness, no deception, no fraud, desire of dunya, yes? Physically and verbally. We're not sadiq in this, are we? In this line, we have deceived, committed fraud. Yes, we do dhikr, we do all the actions. Why is there no benefit? Because why is there no humbleness and sincerity? Because our niyyah is not correct. When the niyyah is not correct, then our efforts are not correct. That's our hal today, our condition today. 50 years, 40 years, 60 years, murid, student. And he goes to meet his sheikh, ziyara. I've come to do ziyarah of my sheikh, to see my teacher. When he arrives there, then he says something against, if for example he hears something that doesn't suit his mind, for the sheikh says something that doesn't suit the mind or the thinking of the student, He wasn't treated the way he wanted to be treated. I wasn't treated nicely. 50, 60 years student. He came for ziyarah of his sheikh. I'm giving examples to you today. This is the situation between the peer and the murid, the sheikh and the student. 50, 60 years student. He came for ziyarah to meet the sheikh. What happened? Sheikh is coming. Complete sheikh. All round. But according to the student's desire and want and nafs, he wasn't treated. He didn't get that pleasure and feeling or statements from the sheikh they wanted. And in the heart, wasawis come. Whispering develops. Negative thoughts, criticisms develop. And he has a negative feeling. Suddenly, oh, my heart sunk. It makes a frown on the face. Why? Because the sheikh did not treat him the way he wanted. He didn't say to him what he wanted to hear. And there, if he's a sheikh kamil, he gives tarbiyah to his murid. He doesn't look at the face or the money or the wealth of the student. He looks at tarbiyah. He will treat the student according to the need of that person's nafs. So there's a piercing effect on the nafs of the student. Why did he treat me like this? Why did he say this to me? Why did he give me this statement? And the sheikh is giving the cure, the remedy to the student. Giving him, so how will that person, it's not according to his desire and want, then he leaves with wazawis and jealousy and hatred and negative feeling and he's returning, tell me. He came to do ziyarah and he returns with Jahannam. Jahannam. So when such a situation arises, such murids, students with these points, they prefer those things the sheikh should say and do according to his need and desire and want and feeling. Then the student says, I'll go with my teacher. Otherwise not. In such a condition environment, then the student and the sheikh cannot succeed. When tafsir and tazkiyah, the teacher is given the remedy, then the student should sell himself at the hands of the sheikh. He makes him fana at the requirement and decision of the sheikh. Thousands of things may be negative, but the student accepts, embraces, happy. Yes, my sheikh was correct. He treated me correctly. Oh, he didn't do this. He didn't say this. He's totally right. Today, if we are lost with this, then he's totally right, my sheikh. But no, why did he say this to me? How did this occur? And the heart's waswasa and negative feelings and whispering of shaitan and bad thoughts and anger. And the face becomes red in front of the teacher. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Ta'ala knows the hearts and the qulub. 50, 60 years, that's why they're empty boxes. They don't benefit. So for this as well, you need humbleness, sincerity, islah of the nafs and islah of the heart. That's the maqsad of tazkiyah. First step is the teacher with the sheikh to have an honest, sincere relationship with the teacher. With the teacher, the sheikh have an honest and sincere relationship. 100% pure and honest relationship. Whatever my sheikh says, orders, guides will be honest, correct, no defect. Whether he sternly speaks to me, scolds me, tells me off, whatever, it's for the sake of Allah and I accept that, I embrace that. Even if he expels me, tells me to get out, he may take something away from me, doesn't give me something, that's fine. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, he did right. That shaitan, doesn't matter what he says to me, I accept that. But today, this doesn't happen. No, there's opposition. The students step back, they leave, U-turn. Their feelings, they change after the sheikh has said something to them. Their feelings change, their wants change. No, my sheikh shouldn't be like this. He shouldn't have said this to me. Why did he treat me like this? I don't understand why he said this. No. So here, Allah Ta'ala has given the cure. خاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. Allah Akbar, to meet Allah, our Lord, to realize we will return to Him, we have to answer Him, we need humbleness, sincerity, we need to do tazkiyah, tafsir. When a student arrives to his sheikh, presents himself, assigns himself, then spends his life, sells himself, works hard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then takes that student to the high maqam, that is salah, and sabr comes into that person's life. In his salah, and comes into his life, and sabr comes into his life. Both remedy. And then khashiyat, the fear of Allah comes. The person who gets salah and sabr, alhamdulillah, then his actions and speech are the same, becomes the best scholar, the best alim of his generation. One alim is enough for the generation if he is good. If he's promoting and practicing the haq, if his practice and words are the right, if he did right tarbiyah from his sheikh, assigned himself, sold himself, after tarbiyah in his heart, Allah Ta'ala gives him the root of sabr and salah. Subhanallah. And they become his tools and resources. For every issue, they become the tools and the solution for him. With this istiqamah, poverty, hunger, nakedness, no clothes, no material things, whatever difficulty comes in the path of Allah to fulfill Allah Ta'ala's orders that comes. Wasta'inu bisabri was salah. He takes both tools. Sabr. Yes. We speak about the pious elders, Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu. We speak about him, praise him. But why don't we learn the sabr that he had? Just like we don't learn the lessons from the Quran, from this whole event of Ashura. Where did it, the whole event of Ashura, where did it end, conclude? Where Allah gave order of salah. Hazrat Imam Hussain demonstrated by praying salah, subhanallah. His home went, children went, wife went, everything he lost slowly, slowly. At the end, what did he say? Allow me to prostrate in salah. He assigned everything, gave everything away, but for Allah's one order. Wasta'inu bisabri wassalah. So much a person sticks to the deen with this istiqamat to obey Allah's instruction. When he gets to that status, there's tabligh, alim does tabligh. The whole world changes. When a father does the bleak in his home, his son, children, alhamdulillah, become walis of Allah. Father, when he is istiqamat, steadfastness, whatever happens, I will follow Allah's orders and the children are watching. My father, he is persevering through poverty, poor days, difficulties, but he doesn't go towards haram. He doesn't consume haram. He doesn't reject salah. Then, and he's taken haram out of the home. And he doesn't tell us to do haram either. And he eats dry bread and stale bread. People are looking at him. He doesn't worry about, all the people around him, doesn't worry about shops and assets and money. He has istiqamat, he's following Allah Ta'ala's deen, bringing up his children. Every child of his becomes a wali Allah. And the father, if he doesn't pray salat on, all the children, doesn't matter how much you push them, work hard, make them maulvis with your money, that money will turn to dust. There will be no deen, and you see the consequences with your eyes. We see the consequences. The biggest message of today. Such mother and father, there's a warning that you're running after money. You left your children in the wilderness. You don't care about your children. You want to run around earning money. And you're assigning your children to teachers. You can work your hardest, but your children will grow up disobedient. I'll tell you, if you want to reform your children, wasta'inu bisabri wassalah. The right tarbiyah of a sheikh, the right reformation, the way the sheikh gives you tarbiyah, follow his instructions and guidance and nasiha. The biggest thing first is salah. Complete salah, we should be with jama'ah, congregation. Be content, don't run after haram and lawful if you want to give right tarbiyah to your children. Otherwise you are 100% dramas, your children will become dramas. This is the brilliant message of the Quran today. So what we learn, that when a person's life is successful, our society is successful due to what? Tazkiyah, tafsiyah, purification, reformation. First and foremost, every human being, it's a must, he does his tazkiyah, clean his heart. Purify your hearts, our hearts. When khashiyat, humbleness, khawf, fear comes into the heart, which khawf? I have to die, I have to go to Allah, present myself. Then is salah will have color. Then sabr will come, will become strong in his life. And he will like to follow Allah's orders. He won't turn back from any order of Allah. Such a father, such an alim, for the whole society will be enough. He'll become a muballigh, pure propagator. May Allah Ta'ala, to all of us, allow us to do amal in this way. Give us the tawfiq. And may we recognize our mistakes. And let's not do fraud. And we don't make our children alims for ta'lim, to earn dunya, money. This is dunya, isn't it? Praise my child, he's an alim, scholar, he's this title. People start praising, wah. Is this why we become alim scholars? No, look at ourselves first. How much haram is there in my life? How much dunya is embedded in my heart? Then look at your children. Is your child right or wrong? First look at yourselves. Myself, ourselves. And this responsibility is on the mashayikh, the ulama ikram, on the respected scholars and mashayikh. And we should observe simplicity in life. Fakiri. Not that we tell other people to stay from dunya. I want this bigger house. I want these assets. No. You are the propagator as well as deen. You should endure and persevere through poverty and ease, simplicity, content. You should be Allah selected for a great function. Why do you run after business and big houses and buildings and assets? So this is what's happening nowadays. So we don't, that's not our objective, to run after mal. Allah Ta'ala, He has given you such the great wealth of the akhirah. Why are we running after the dunya? That we do du'as and run after houses and buildings, and we have mounds and stacks of wealth and treasure and safes filled with wealth. No, Allah has given us a great maqam and selected us for a great work. The mashayikh ikram the same. Respected mashayikh. Yes, we should live a life of contentment, simplicity, faqr. And poverty and simplicity and maybe scarcity. But if Allah gives, be happy. If He gives, be happy. If He doesn't give, be happy. Deen, be happy. Doesn't matter if thousands of hurdles comes, don't leave dunya. Don't leave the deen. Not one salah should be sacrificed. Not one thing of haram in the life. But when we see our children and they're earning haram, doing haram actions, lying, doing sins, and doing wrong and evading truth and rhyme. Everyone's watching for them. You can give them titles of Malana and titles and let make my son a scholar. Do something for him, please. Do something. Write it down today. Write it down what I'm telling you. Every mother and father who doesn't pray Salah, then if they want to make the children good, they will never become anything. You heard me what I said? You want to make your something, children something good? First change yourself. Do tabligh to yourself. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.